We were just talking about Tua, and, you know, I know it's early on here in terms of grading things, but in that second game yesterday, what have you guys come up with?
He was amazing. He was a top 10 quarterback. Neither he nor Herbert had a turnover-worthy play, which means, you know, young quarterbacks keeping the ball away from harm's way, which is very impressive. I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, Tagovailoa for his first start. But in reality, I mean, that game was kind of weird, right? He was sort of in managing the game mode for almost the entire time. Yesterday, he had to come back and actually win a football game, and he was amazing. His athleticism was great. One of the things that I thought was interesting was they were using the tight ends more, which I think when you look at sort of the map and where Tua liked to throw the football at Alabama, the middle of the field is far more his preference. And when you look at the Dolphins, their big receivers, Parker and Preston Williams, are more outside guys, so there wasn't that congruence that I thought he would. He was very successful to throw the ball both over the middle and the outside yesterday. So it was a very good step for the Dolphins, and I think, you know, they're in a sort of perfect position here because, you know, young quarterbacks, I think we're going to see one tonight in Sam Darnold, teams hang on to them way too long, and usually if you put one of these guys in some high-leverage situations like they're going to put Tua in the second half of the year, you can find out if he's the guy right away. And if he's not, you can move on to, you know, a different crop of quarterbacks that's going to be coming up in the draft.
Can you describe to our listeners what a turnover-worthy play is? It's something we talk about a lot, and I'm a PFF guy. I'm always citing a lot of things from there, but people are always like, what does that even mean? So can you tell people what that means?
Yeah, so like if you're throwing a ball, you know, for example, if you throw a ball that gets tipped at the line of scrimmage and gets intercepted, we're not going to give you a turnover-worthy play. So that's going to be an interception on your stat sheet that isn't an interception in our minds. If you throw a pass right at a defender and he drops it, well, that's an incompletion in the stat sheet. But, in many cases, that's going to be intercepted. So we're going to treat that like an interception in our stat sheet. So it's kind of like, you know, are you putting the ball in harm's way? It's an idea. We have this thing called big time throws, which are like our highest graded throws and turnover worthy plays. That's kind of the PFF version of touchdown to interception ratio. So you generally speaking want to have obviously more big time throws and turnover worthy plays, much like you want to have more touchdowns than interceptions.
Eric Eager, Pro Football Focus, is with us. Adam, I want you to fire out your questions here because you had a couple. First on Ruggs.
Yeah, what have we seen from Henry Ruggs so far with the Raiders? Because one of the things that I've noticed covering this team is there seems to be some issues around the sidelines of figuring out exactly where his feet are and where they need to be. We saw it definitely show up yesterday, but it's something that's been showing up throughout the year. And just in general, where is he? A lot of the people around the team say, hey, he hasn't learned how to beat one-on-one coverage yet.
Well, I think that was always the worry, right? When you looked at a guy, you know, I think of somebody in Kansas City too, Mecole Hardman. It's like when you get these guys that are, you know, these very impressive speed demons out of big programs, you know, one of two things can be the case. You know, his production could have been lower because, you know, they had to feed the ball to Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle, or he could be, you know, the lower guy on the totem pole because he was legitimately not as good and he was just rounding out that receiving core. And you see that all the time. Generally speaking, if you're a good college receiver, you're going to get a ton of targets. There's always this caveat if you're played for Alabama or Georgia or, you know, LSU, in the case of like Justin Jefferson, like, you know, you have to battle with other elite players to get those targets. And maybe what we're seeing with Ruggs here is that, you know, he was a kind of take the top off the defense kind of guy. But when it comes down to the receiving aspect of it, you know, he leaves a little to be desired. Now, I will say, though, Derek Carr this season is throwing the ball on passes traveling more than 20 yards downfield in 2020 is the third highest rated quarterback in the NFL. And so while Ruggs might not be the recipient of those passes, I do think to some degree he is taking the top off of the defense enough for some of those plays to be available to the Nelson Aguilars of the world. We saw yesterday with Hunter Renfrow as well. I think the offense is opened up because of his presence. It's just he's not the one capitalizing on that, and I understand that's probably a little disappointing coming from a guy who's the top 10 pick in the draft.